My name is Tim Hitchcock, and I'm a historian of early modern sexuality and also of homosexuality, period, up to about 1800. And the reason historians have been interested in the history of homosexuality and of sexuality is it is one facet of a wider story of the creation of modern identities, of the idea that people are naturally male and female, and that heterosexuality is also natural. Prior to 1800, in the early modern period, people had a very different view of what it was to be human and what it was that determined their sexual behavior and also how their bodies worked. They believed in a humoral system in which people were actually made up. Their sex was determined by a mix of humors, a mix of characteristics, if you like, that meant that everybody was on a continuum. They weren't either male or female. They were actually somewhere in between. And as a result, up until particularly around 1700, there was a kind of confusion, not in their own minds, but a much less rigid demarcation between men and women. And what the history of homosexuality has allowed historians to look at is how you move from that ambiguous relationship between men and women to what we find in the 19th and 20th centuries, which is a naturalization of sexual difference. By the 20th century, everybody believed that men were born men and women were born women, and that they were absolutely diametrically opposed and different. Now, what happens with the history of homosexuality over the period from about 1500 to 1800 is, first of all, it becomes the focus of serious legal persecution. You get the rise of capital punishment for sodomy between men and also between men and anybody else. That essentially was understood within the context of religion and sin and led to a series of high-profile trials. There were a number of 16th and 17th century trials where high-ranking political figures, like the Earl of Castlehaven, was accused of sodomy and executed. And that in turn creates a situation where you begin to have a wider public understanding that there are some groups of people and some men who have sex with other men, as opposed to a heterosexualist norm, a reproductive norm. By the end of the 17th century, those forces, partly the political and legal persecution of men who are caught having sex with other men, is beginning to lead to a redefinition of how homosexuality looks, how you might actually understand a group of people who choose to have sex with other men rather than participating in a heterosexual norm. And as a result, by the beginning of the 18th century, what you can find are groups of people, particularly in large cities, who are beginning to set themselves apart, to define themselves separately from the rest of society, perhaps against society, but also find themselves persecuted by a legal system that is bringing light to, is showing the existence of a new series of communities. And those communities in particular become associated with what's called Molly House culture. And from the 1690s, particularly in London, but also in some larger cities, and arguably in the other major cities of Europe, you can begin to find places of assignation, basically pubs and ale houses, that become Molly houses, become the gay bars of the 18th century.